Hello, good evening. This is Know the Name, Know the Answers. I am your host, Sharon Lynn Wyatt. And tonight, being the first night of the month, it's always call in, get your questions and answers in, all coming from your name. I have no guest on the first Thursday of the month. It is me answering your questions on names. And if you have a question on a name, please call at 888-627-6008. Again, that is 888-627-6008. Call in and have your name interpreted or the answers to your questions given based on the placement of the letters in your name. Now, in the news this last week, we had a very interesting name come through. First of all, Elon Musk, and I'm probably saying his first name wrong, Musk. And his lady friend, Grimes, at least that's what she goes by, they had a baby. And they published the baby's name and the baby's picture. Now, to be cute, they put little tattoos and false eyelashes. They dressed up the picture. I want you to know it's not on the actual baby. They just dressed up the picture. Anyway, they named their child a capital X, then the AE in Norwegian that has the two letters together, and then a capital A-12. And that's what they named their child. And I looked at that and I said, as a former teacher, if I saw that name down on my roll list, one, I wouldn't know if I was talking to a boy or a girl. I wouldn't have any clue. And the second thing is, I would have no clue how to pronounce it. Not at all. There was one tweet that was rather cute. It said, you'll just have to call the child a -4 because if you make everything into a math symbol or number, it adds up to a -4. And I thought, oh, I hope this child does not get teased because we definitely don't need to encourage more teasing among kids in school with other kids. But I thought, how is that going to go on the school programming and the computers? The computers have a name column where you put in the name where the children get scheduled. And are they going to read that wrong and not accept it because it has numbers in it? Because name columns only like letters and not numbers. The other thing is, I thought, how's the computer going to know if that's a boy or a girl and put them in the correct PE class? Anyway, I was just looking at that name, but the most curious thing was, okay, when you're going to pronounce it, that X can be said so many different ways depending on what language you're in. It can be hard, a hard X or a soft S-like sound. I mean, there's so many different ways of saying the letter X. And then the AE combo that runs into each other and that's written as one letter is another difficult one for people that don't have a Norwegian background or haven't traveled or haven't been able to speak that to know exactly how that one sounds. And then to have an A-12, is that what we're going to say or we're going to change it into a sound? Anyway, I'm very curious to hear what that sound is going to sound like. So I looked at it and I said, how would we interpret that as a name? Okay. So if you're, first of all, they have taken androgyny to a whole new level with their baby's name. So I guess this child gets to choose which way it wants to present itself because we can't tell from the name. The second thing, though, is when I was really looking at the name and how we interpret names, this child will be a world-class mediator. Absolutely be able to mediate between one side and another side and get them to come to some agreement. Also, because of the way the name's written, it will indicate that this child's brain will have incredible hemisphere synchronization, and that will be a frequent natural occurrence. So for the rest of us, we're working in the left side of the brain, the left hemisphere, or the right brain and the right hemisphere. And then when the two get together and you have hemisphere synchronization, or what's called from Monroe Institute, hemisync for short, that's when you get those aha moments, like, oh, this is just incredible, wonderful, because all of a sudden the brain's working together. And a lot of people will study the Monroe procedures through their tapes to train their brain and able to be able to do that more frequently. But when I'm looking at this name, again, I don't know how to pronounce it, or I would, it just says that this child will have really good right brain, left brain synchronization. Also, the newborn baby will be able to think just as quickly on his feet as his famous dad, Elon Musk. And so that should be an interesting household to see who can think faster on their feet with comebacks. And the other thing is the baby's going to be a little bit more traditional than either of his parents, you know, either than Elon Musk or his mom, Grimes. And so he's going to be a lot more traditional and a little bit more conservative in that department. So I thought, well, that's going to be interesting for their family also. And he will also outshine his parents in creativity, which is kind of cool because both of his parents are very creative, but he's got more creativity in this name than they have in their names. It's very interesting when you name a newborn to be able to look at the name and say, what is this person going to be like? Why did this person come? What's their lessons? What did they come to do? And so when I'm looking at this name of this of newborn baby from Elon Musk and Grimes, I'm thinking this would be a great one to add to my class when I'm teaching to let people know how you interpret these strange letters and symbols. When I was testing namology science, it was very interesting because as I was traveling to different countries, different people would ask me questions that I hadn't encountered or thought of myself. And like one of the questions was in Germany, where what if you had a number imprinted on your arm, like they did in Nazi Germany, and you went by a number instead of your name? What would that be like? How would you interpret that? So I had to come back and figure that out, exactly how it would work within namology science. And there were a lot of questions that were asked that I was like, wow, that would be interesting. And I had to come back and play with it. And that's why in the first book, Know the Name, Know the Person, you get to see a whole chapter that I call the What If chapter. And I literally put in all the questions when I was giving talks in different places in the world where somebody would ask a question and what if this situation or what if that situation? Like what if you have two last names instead of one? What if you have more than just a first, middle, and last name? You know, what if all these questions? What if you have symbols over your letters, like an accent mark or an umlaut? Or if the accent mark turns one way versus another way? And there were all these what if questions. So every time I was asked one that I hadn't been asked before, I would literally stop my talk and write it down. And I think I want to figure that out. So there is an entire chapter in the first book that's called What If? And I go through all the things people ask me just in case somebody reading the book would have the same question and want to know, what do you do if this is the circumstance? So that's kind of fun. Also in the books, the first book, just to let everybody know, is all about the personality. That's why I called it Know the Name, Know the Person. Because once you know the person, you know the personality, you feel like you know the person. And then the second book was Know the Name, Know the Spirit, because it was the way how you can determine what the seven lessons in your life are, the different things that you wanted to experience. And I kind of like the word experience better than lessons, because we may learn, we may not learn. We may learn differently than what we thought we could learn. You know, it all depends. And so when you have your life planned out for you, or at least the outline of your life, so that you have purpose all the way here, then your name literally gives you that purpose. And even the years that you will be doing different things, or the years that you have dedicated to have those type of experiences more than the other years. I was giving one of the readings today that I was giving a reading was, it was very interesting when we were working with the timing. And with one of the things that I said was her, one of her seven goals. And she said, oh, I'm working on that now. And I said, oh, then you must be between this age and that age, because that's where it says in your name. And she said, yes, on my birthday, I just became the younger side of that age. And I thought, I love how namology science just pins that stuff down so clearly on where we focus for what years to really accomplish what we have planned to accomplish while we're here. It's an interesting thing, too. And the middle name saying the how it's interpreted. I always say it's where you go when you're under stress. Now, none of us would be under stress if we didn't have time commitments. Because if you had all the time in the world to get something done, you're not going to be stressed. But it's only time that causes the stress because we're up against a deadline. Now, the reason we go to our middle name, if you have one, not everybody does, but if you have one, you go there because that indicates what you did previously on your life's continuum. Now, some people will call it reincarnation, but I really think it's a continuum of life. You just go different places. And so think of the earth as your favorite vacation spot. Like, where on the earth do you like to go vacation a lot? So it'd be the same thing for the soul. Oh, let's go down there and vacation again. And of course, this is symbolic. And if you're vacationing again in the same spot, what do you want to do this time? What experiences do you want to have versus last time? Okay. And that's what the middle name represents, what you've done before and where you are when you're coming in this time. Now, our forefathers that created America here, they all agreed on a few things, and the majority agreed on a lot of other things. But one of the things that they all understood was that the soul had, until they were age 21, and able to recall, remember, relearn anything that they had known previously to this visitation or this physicality on the earth. And that is why our forefathers said that you're not an adult until you're 21, because they knew that up until then, the soul was remembering and relearning or recalling previous experiences and getting ready for what they wanted to do, that soul wanted to do this time around. So that's why they said an adult isn't until age 21. Now that's gotten changed in my lifetime because people that were going off to war, like in Vietnam, when I was in high school, people were going off to Vietnam. And when that war occurred, they were saying, why should we be able to die for our country and yet not be able to vote for our country? And so many states changed the voting age to 18, and then slowly but surely more states did. And then they also changed the drinking age to 18. And again, that was state by state and slowly but surely. And so the rights came at 18, even though the soul with its remembrance still wouldn't have remembered everything, according to our forefathers, from what they did before. So it's just interesting to see how different things develop. Now, I was pre-interviewed this week on two radio shows. One's going to be playing this Monday, the other one on Tuesday. You'll be able to go to Facebook and get the details. You can go to my website, knowthename.com, and then go to schedule. And the schedule will show you how to get in touch with those radio shows and to hear that. But on one of the shows, we really went into depth on what the coronavirus says and where I find it, what I'm saying. Where do I find it? In what letters? You know, how does it talk to us that way? And what are the opportunities that are present in the coronavirus versus the challenges that are present in the coronavirus? And how does the name itself indicate many of the things that we're going through now? So to see how appropriately it was named. So that's the show that'll be coming on Monday. And then there's another show that's coming on Tuesday. And I may have these backwards and reversed because of dyslexia. But the other show, she looked at Sophia Renea, looked at it and said, let's talk about different aspects of namology science than what you've covered before. So that is a very different kind of interview that was done with her. And so both of them, one's coming out Monday, one's coming out Tuesday. You can find the links that they'll be posted on Twitter and Facebook. And you can also find the links that'll be posted on the schedule page of my website, knowthename.com. Again, if you'd like to call in with your name to get it analyzed, it's 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. 0008. You know, we're living in very interesting times. And some of the people have called in recently and said, we're thinking about moving, but we don't know where we want to move. We just know that we don't want to be where we currently are. And how does namology science work if you're planning on moving to a different place? And so how I do that is I will ask a few questions first. Like, is it important if the state has a state sales tax or not, or a state income tax or not? So there are 8 states in the United States that do not have a state income tax. You're only paying the federal tax. And they get the rest of their money from sales tax or property taxes. We have one state, Vermont, that does not ask for either a sales tax or a property tax. A sales tax or a state income tax. They only ask for a property tax. And so we ask questions first like that to see that we're picking the right group of states to begin with so that I don't have to look at all 50. And if it's not important, then I can look at all 50. And then we start with what would you like, what's important to you in the where you're living. And so I did that when I decided to move 2.5 years ago. And I've moved quite frequently in my life. And I said, I don't want to have to move again. I want to find a place that I can really love. I want to use namology science to help me find it. And so to find a place where I don't need to move again, or I don't feel like I'd want to move again. And it's been interesting because in my life, everywhere pretty much that I've been, I've said, oh, okay, I've outgrown this place, or I gathered what I came to gather in this place, or learn or experience what I came for this place, and it's time to go have a new adventure somewhere else. Except for there some places I really, really liked, but because of the person I was married and his job would move, that would cause all of us to move, and then it was sad to lose those places. But anyway, so this time I said, okay, how are we going to use this to land in a place that you really, really like? And so I started with, I want to live in one of the 8 states that do not have a state income tax. Then I looked at those states and I thought, okay, Florida is way too hot for me. They have humid summers and it's so hot. The winters are nice, but look what you're going to trade in for this, you know, those summers are just incredibly hot. So I canceled that one out. And then I looked at how many were in very cold, cold areas. And I thought, nope, I don't want to be freezing or snowed in all the time or iced in all the time. Or if the electricity goes out, having to figure out how else to heat the house. And so I canceled those out. And then it really came down to Washington State, Texas, and Tennessee. And because the weather's all nice in those places. And so pretty much nice, in Washington State, I lived there before. I love Washingtonians. I love Washington State. It's such a beautiful part of our country. And I really enjoyed living there when I did. And so I was looking at Washington State and I thought, I've got to figure out how to eliminate. And they have had all kinds of remains or debris, would be more appropriate, from Fukushima that has washed up on the Oregon coast and the southern part of Washington coast. And I thought, you know, if they're getting the debris where they're doing cleanup crews for the things that are coming through the ocean, then through the air too, they're getting some of what Fukushima put into the air. And I want to make sure where I live, the air stays clean. So as much as I enjoy Washington and it's a wonderful place, I thought, okay, I'm going to use that criteria to narrow it down. Then I looked at Texas, and Texas is very populated, and there's traffic jams, and you've got to plan when you're going to drive where simply because of the size of the population, even though it's a fabulous place. I love Texas. And so I thought, okay, I would like to live in a smaller place where they don't have things such as traffic jams, so you don't have to plan extra time while you're on the road. And so that gave me over to Tennessee. And then within Tennessee, once I found my state, I thought, okay, what section of Tennessee? Tennessee's very, very diverse, and it's got from east to west, it's very long. You know, it's like almost 8 hours from one side to the other if you're driving. And so I thought, okay, where in this vast territory would be most conducive for me? So I canceled out Nashville. I love Nashville. I love to go visit. But again, there's going to be a traffic thing. So I thought, okay, not Nashville. And I canceled out the larger cities just because of the traffic. And then I started looking at what city names would best fit with my name. And I had made this list of 100 qualities I would like in a city and what was important to me. Like one of them was being near an airport, because I travel a lot to go give talks in different places, and when different people sponsor me to have me come out and do a lot of readings and a group read. And so I thought it's important to be close to an airport. And so anyway, I had 100 things that were important to me. And I said, I'm going to keep that as my criteria. But when I looked at the names, I eliminated many, many places, and I came up with the name of the place that most matched my own name. And then I went online and I started learning about this particular area of Tennessee. And the most amazing thing is where I live, what I picked using Namology after I had done the other sorting, is that this place met 99 of my 100 qualities. The only quality it did not meet is they still put fluoride in the water. And so I thought, okay, that one's solvable. Get a Berkey and run your water through it. So it's just amazing how you can compare a name of somebody else with your name, or you can compare a name of a city with yours, the name of a job that you're thinking about working for, you know, like the name of that business with your name. You can constantly compare names and see how well you would do one name with another name. And I always think that's really fascinating to be able to do, because if you know ahead of time what may be a challenge, then you can do something about it. You can say, is this a small challenge that doesn't really bother me? Or is this a larger challenge that it's just going to get underneath my nerves after a while? And so is it even worth it to even begin with? Okay. And so you look at different things like that when you're finding out a place, you know, that you would like to live, or even a place that you would like to visit. Okay. So that's very, very important to do. And with that, we're going to take a break just for a minute. Remember, your call-in number is 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. And we will be right back.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Namology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Namology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories, and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.
Welcome back to Know the Name, Know the Answers. This is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I did a big goof. Normally, every Thursday, our newsletter goes out and reminds everybody that we're here and please to listen in. And our phone calls are very busy and a lot of people cannot get in even though they'd like to. And because of my error of not sending out the newsletter this morning to everyone, is a perfect time for you to be able to get your call through. And all you have to do is call 888-627-6008. I thought for the fun of it, what we could do is look at some of the states' names and say, what would it be like to live in those particular states? What would that state have that would be really good? And what would be the challenges of living in that state? And so I thought that might be fun to look at. Again, though, if you'd like your name done, you can call in as 888-627-6008. So the first state I want to look at is California. And California is an interesting state because it starts by saying, yes, we want to be the one in charge. We want to be in the control. But right away, it says we've got to learn how to do that. We've got to learn how to be the state that's in charge. We've got to learn how to be the state that's in control of itself. And so we're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way, you know, and sometimes we'll do it right and sometimes we won't. But we're learning and we're learning how to be in charge of ourselves. It also says in the state that we can either be visionaries and really be leaders because we get a vision and we go for it. Or the downside of those same letters, or the challenge side, I should say, is that we can build our building on illusion. And it can just be absolute illusion for us to believe a certain way and think that it's going to work. So we can either be visionaries or we can be illusions. Okay? And then it says that in our state, we want to be independent. We want to have independent people. However, we're going to attract a lot of people who would like the world differently than it is, or a lot of people that have a deep level of honesty, okay, as a challenge, or people that are very, very creative and very imaginative. We're going to attract those also. We're also going to attract people that have fairness issues, that you want the world to be fair, and we can stand up for ourselves and we can stand up for others. And then very likable. This state is going to be highly likable. It's going to attract people that want to go there, but the people in the state are not going to change and able to get people to come to that state. And then it's got a really interesting combination in that state that says we're physically minded. Whether it's sex or athletics or exercise or whatever, we're very physically minded. So if you're going to come out to our state, be ready to have your spare activities be around physical activities that get you moving, that keeps your body moving. And so overall, the state would say we're very confident of ourselves. We have good management the majority of the time. We're a likable state. And you know, everybody's going to enjoy being out here. So that's what the state of California actually says, or some of it. Okay, we have a caller. So Sharon, welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the Know the Answers. Hi, what can I do for you?
Well, I'd love to hear what you think about my full name. And I'm very interested in what you said about Tennessee, because I'm also interested potentially in relocating someday, and we have the same name. So I thought, wow, this is a great time to call in because she's done all the work.
Yeah, looking at your full name, this is very interesting. Is this a maiden or a married?
Sharon Michael is my maiden name, and McKee was the last married name that I had.
Okay, so Michael was your last name when you were born, right?
That's my maiden name, Sharon Adams Michael.
Thank you. I was going to say, because if not, I'm going to read it as a married middle name, and I'm going to read it wrong. Okay.
Okay.
So when you were born with, I'm here to make the world a better place, And the people around me are doing things the hard way, and you're here to help them learn how to do it simpler, easier, quicker, more efficiently, more logically, like get the thing done. Okay?
Absolutely.
So that's your overall with your full name that you were so generous in giving me. And you also have it in there that you're very good at manifesting. Okay? And
yep.
What might have been a little bit difficult in your first marriage was that particular last name says that your family that you moved, that you married into, not just the husband, but the family that you married into, wanted you to then follow all the family rules and come into the fold and follow directions according to what the family dynamics were. Okay?
Right, and, not happening.
And you have in your name rebelliousness. So it's like you do not be told. Okay. You do not want to be told what to do whatsoever.
Nope.
Okay. You've got rebelliousness, but it's also given you good discernment over the years. And so you said, I grew up with people who did it the hard way, that I wanted to start making things easier, faster, quicker. And now you're trying, and then I married into a family that's trying to control me and tell me how I have to do things. And so it was like, oh, no, we're rejecting this. Okay. However, I will say that the family that you married into were kind at heart. They meant well.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And I'm not married into that family anymore, but yes, that's exactly true. They were very kind.
Well, I didn't want to say something that some people could take as negative. Other people love it when they're included in the fold. But they also, it says in their name that they were very kind and meant well. Okay?
Yeah.
So in your name, you're very logical. Okay? And you were taught to have a strong sense of self from your name.
Yep.
And you were taught to work hard. And that you work and work and work until that job's done and you get as much done as you can every day. And so you work until you literally drop and you say, okay, I'm too tired to do anything else. And I jokingly always say when that's the case that if you could get somebody else to get up and go to the bathroom for you, once you dropped, you would.
That's true.
So you wouldn't have to get up. Okay.
I need a cleanup person. I'll work all day long, but once I'm done, somebody better come behind me to pick up all the pieces because I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay. Quick. The other thing in your name is that you think it's very important for the world to be fair, and you've got that in different places. Like, we've got to improve the world and make it more fair, you know, and make it better for people. And you have no problems whatsoever making, you know, standing up for somebody else when you think something's not fair. However, you can choke and have a hard time standing up for yourself.
Yep.
You know, and so names indicate answers on how to solve those problems. So Sharon, would you like to know how to do that where you're able to?
Absolutely. Listen, I have gotten more out of just even one or two names in your book, just knowing the difference between A's and E's, just totally changed my relationships with anybody that had a first letter E.
Isn't that fabulous?
It was incredible.
You know, I had to learn all that the hard way from the E's in my life, right? The first vowel.
God bless you, because, wow, I was so happy when I read that. I said, oh, my God, that's why I cannot resolve this relationship. And literally, I started emailing this person. The first thing I would say is, and how are you feeling? How are you doing today? What do you feel about this? What do you feel about that? Totally, completely healed the relationship just by doing that.
Yeah, I wish I would not have learned that letter the hard way.
Oh, I bet you do.
You know, but when it was time for me to learn a letter, the universe definitely brought me people that had those letters or letter combinations in it to me so I could observe and watch what would happen and then see the similarities between the people, you know,
when I was thinking.
But and that was the hardest vowel for me to get because as an A, that was my hardest vowel to even see.
Oh, absolutely. But listen,
you know,
look at all the E's in that. I'm curious about that because the fact that you moved there, that interests me. But look at all those E's.
Yeah. And you know what? I have learned to love the first vowel of an E. I have more people in my world that have that first vowel of an E, and I used to just go, oh my gosh, here we've got another one, cringe. You know, this one takes extra time and effort, and oh my gosh, this is so difficult for me. And I have learned that they so balance us in so many different ways once we slow down enough to feel it. It's
like very big-hearted.
Yes, very big-hearted. They really care. They have a lot better sense of humor than we do with the A's, unless we have something else in our name that helps us with that.
I don't know. I'm Irish, so my sense of humor is good.
Well, you've got it from your last name. You've got it from your family name, you know, and then you married in with it too. And so you've got it now in two of your names. But it's like I didn't have any of those letters that mean humor. So I wasn't getting it from family. I wasn't getting it anywhere. You know, it was like or no receptivity to it. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's like we take things more seriously and we have to learn to play and learn to laugh and learn to whatever. But it's nice when people around us can help us in that department. But it's interesting. You were talking about you're thinking about moving and what state you want to move to.
But, well, the reason that I even called in tonight is as I was listening to you, because I've always been aware we had the same name, and I recognized a lot of similarities when I listened to you talk. And I thought, gosh, this is interesting because look at all the effort she went to discern all those different things about the whole country, and that's what she chose. And I thought, that is very interesting. I want to know about where that is, because maybe there's something there for me too.
Well, one of the things is I needed a state or chose, wanted a state, however you wanted to look at it. It's not really need or want. I intended to live in a state that was logical in its thinking patterns and its government. Because when they crazy, rules, I'm like, oh, get me out of here. And I have lived in 11 of our states and in four different countries and in plenty of places within those states. And when the government or the ruling group or the whatnot would be, in my opinion, illogical, I was like, I got to get me out of here. Okay.
I get it.
So, because I feel like we all need to be community minded and to have things that don't make sense, like for an example, to me, this doesn't make sense, but maybe I need help having somebody show me it makes sense. But in California, they decided to, the last thing I read, so it could have changed again, but they were promoting that we need to give the monies to the immigrants before we give the monies to the citizens to help them out, because they're going to find it.
I lived there. I loved California, but that was way before they were doing any of those things. And I always wanted to go back. But as I listen to the stuff that they're doing, I know that's not a match for me at all anymore.
Well, and I grew up in San Diego. So I have a, you know, like to me, that was partly home, you know, when you grow up someplace. And but I look at that and I thought, now, maybe they do have a harder time in that area, and so that's showing compassion. I'm not going to judge it. I'm just going to say, to me, I don't want to reward people that illegally got here. If they got here legally, great, help them out. But if they got here illegally, they're already saying they're not willing to follow the law. And therefore, why should they get help before the people that are willing to follow the law? Okay, so it's
exactly.
it's just my logic. Okay,
well, so, you know what? But that, what a great way to choose where to be, because how it's upsetting. It's constantly upsetting if you're constantly facing things that are not to you logical, are not honest, or not ethical. It's upsetting.
So I looked at the names for what's going to have what I'm looking for. Okay. So I looked at that in the names. And so I'll tell you.
Did you find that in Tennessee or was it in the name of the city?
In both.
Okay.
In both. And I like that.
May
I find
I
that
ask what you found in Tennessee? Like what you saw in those letters that called to you?
Okay. So first of all, Tennesseans are, they strive to be their best. In the name of Tennessee, it's people who strive to be their best. Now, both Tennessee and Texas both start with that T-E. And like I said, I learned to appreciate those first vowels of an E because the people are warm and friendly and more outgoing. And I know it's hard to believe, but inside I'm actually an introvert, okay? And then I've had to learn how to come out. And so, and I always think it's funny when I have an astrology reading with somebody and they go, oh my gosh, your astrology says you're an introvert. And I go, oh, yes, yes, I'm very comfortable with that part. You know, but I wanted to be able to do things and share knowledge, and you can't be an introvert and get out there and you know, and share knowledge and be that introvert. So, you know, we learn to cope, right? And so I look at that TE and they're nurturing and they're very good at it. And the people are friendly and they're basically kind and good people that are attracted to those states. I like that TE. It means we really excel with our open hearts at being kind to other people. Okay. And then I started looking at the next letters and it says, one, they're grounded. You know, both the X in Texas and the double N in Tennessee literally says we're grounded. We're coming from thinking and we're thinking for ourselves. We're not just accepting what somebody told us. And I could live an entire state of rebels and they could all even disagree with me as long as they're thinking and not just being brainwashed. Okay.
I agree completely.
So I look at it and I thought, okay, these are grounded people. And normally grounded people are hardworking people, you know, and is everything we do successful? Oh no, that's called life. But at least they're doing their best and they're learning from what they're doing and then they go on. Okay. And so I liked that about both of those states.
It's just and, that the basic value system is like that.
Right. It's grounded. It's a basic value system.
Yeah.
And then in the rest of Tennessee, it's got all those more E's and then some S's. Well, S is part of the three letters that designate intelligence. And I've already realized, because of all the different places I've lived, that I am really good if somebody is learning something new and they're slow. But I am not really good when I'm in the grocery store and that person's been at that cash register for 5 years and they're still fumbling. You know,
I
don't have patience for that. You know, if you're learning something new, hey, you know, you're going to make mistakes and let's go for it. And that's okay. That's part of life. You know, the word fail, if you look at the letters, F-A-I-L, it means first attempt in learning. We don't expect you to do well, you know? And so, but to repeatedly and not learning or wanting to improve from where you are, I thought, okay, I'm real good in that classroom, but outside that classroom, I want people who have some common sense and can know what they're doing after a while. Okay? So, So both Texas and Tennessee have that. Washington State has that. Montana has that. You know?
Too cold.
Well, right.
I loved it that you got rid of all the cold places right away.
I did. I mean, Iowa. Oh, my gosh. I love the people that live in Iowa. But it's too cold.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a bottom line thing.
Yeah, it is. And I don't want too hot.
Well, I'm from the island, so I'm okay with that, but I can't do the cold.
Okay, so you'd probably do okay with northern Florida, not southern. Okay, because
I'd be okay. I used to live in sort of central Florida. I loved it there.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. You'd probably do okay there, where to me, Florida was just too hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the day that the teachers could leave from school, the last day that the teachers had to be there, I was also gone. And I wouldn't show up again until the day before we had to be back. It was just like too hot. You know, and looking at your full name, you do just fine in either Texas or Tennessee. Either one would be good. And in fact, I know this sounds crazy, but you'd actually also do well in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Wow.
Yeah. And I think Kentucky's kind of a hidden state. A lot of people don't know about Kentucky and how wonderful it is there. But your name indicates that you would do really well in Kentucky also. And you might find that a gemstone. And if you were going to look at Kentucky, I'd look around Lexington. You could look anywhere, but I'd look.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you that the man I was married to's family is from Lexington, Kentucky. I'm not married to him anymore. But yes, I do know about that part of the country. That's so funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's like something's there for you in that area, you know?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm more interested in Tennessee. I don't know why. That's an intuitive call, but
yeah. Well, Tennessee does not have state income tax. Kentucky does.
Well, I think that there's a sense of, and I don't even know. I'm going to ask you because you are the one that lives there. But it feels like there's a sense of independence, like the Constitution, the original founders of the country, the sense of people that really, really care about the basic values of things. That appeals to me.
And hardworking. That's what I'm saying. A lot of Kentucky's like that too. But you're right. A lot of Tennessee is that way. The southern part of Virginia is like that too. But the northern part isn't.
Okay. What part of Tennessee do you think is a good match? Like where I would start looking in general? The east part, the west part?
If you like large cities, I've lived in so many large cities like Tokyo and Shanghai.
I live on an island that is 19 square miles. That tells you about how comfortable I am with large cities.
Okay. So
19 square miles for the whole of my life.
Then I would look, if you drew a north-south line straight up and down from border to border in Tennessee, I would make that line to the right of Nashville and look at anything to the right of Nashville.
Anything to the right of Nashville. Okay, great.
That whole area would fit with your name really well. I don't think there's one city in there that you'd go wrong with. And some are very, very small, and some are bigger. But each one of them, I'm thinking of the names as we're talking in my head, and each one of them could serve you well.
Okay, so I'm dyslexic, and I just heard you say something about that same thing. So you need to say to me, is it to the east of Nashville or to the west? I don't even know where Nashville is.
Nashville's in the middle. Nashville's in the middle.
So I want to go east of that or west of that?
East.
East of that. Okay, east of Nashville. That I can imagine in my head. Okay, great. Yay.
Now, first vowel was an E, just so everybody's listening. If your first vowel was an E in your first name, you'd want to go west of that.
Oh, how interesting is that? Okay. I'm
basing it on your name, not that it's the exact perfect thing for somebody else.
Right. Wow, what an interesting. I can't believe I got in to talk to you tonight. I am so thrilled. I've enjoyed your books so much and used them to such great, I met somebody that had a lot of people in their family, and I thought, I'll never remember all these people. And so I got your book, and I thought, what I can remember is what is the vowel. And that way I'll know how to start interacting with all these people in the family, which, what an interesting way to approach life. It's just been fabulous.
Well, thank you. Did you get the first one, Know the Name, Know the Person, or the third one that is simply those six vowels and more in depth? That is know the name.
I got a couple of them. The first one I got was Know the Name, Know the Person. That was the full. I think that was the full. You know, it talked about all the different vowels and all the different consonants and all those things. And then I got one that was smaller, but it was the bigger book that I just keep going through it over and over and over again. It has so much information.
Well, because I have fairness issues in my name, which you also have in your name because it sits in the Sharon and the Sharon. Okay.
Can I say one other thing really quick before you go?
Yeah.
I am from the Virgin Islands, and I've always hated the name Sharon. I just hated it. I thought, why would my mother ever name me that? It's not my name. But in the Virgin Islands, European dialect calls me Sharon. And I think, now see, why didn't she name me that? This is so funny to me because I never met anybody that intentionally made their name like that. But you.
So spelled this way, okay, I put an accent mark on my O to help visual learners remember that it's said differently, and I went down and legally had it changed because it's important to do something legally. However, if you're in the Middle East, when they look at Sharon, everybody says Sharon.
Well, down here they do the same thing. That it's just a natural, it's like the way they speak it is Sharon, that sounds right to me, and I've always hated my name until I heard it spoken in the West Indies.
Well, you're going to laugh, but my dad would call me Sharon, and my mom would call me Sharon, and I hated Sharon, and I love my dad. It's a fine name for somebody else, but it's not mine.
Right. That's exactly how I felt. It's just not my name. And besides that, everybody calls me Susan. Everybody that doesn't know me, that mixes up my name, calls me Susan, and they always have. And I've always thought, gosh, I should have just been named Susan and keep it simple for everybody.
No, because what they're feeling is that you've got a sense of humor, and that's not common among Sharons.
Oh, is that right? Because I do have a sense of humor. I am laughing all the time.
Right, and you've got that in the rest of your name, but that's not common except for when a Sharon has it in the rest of the name, like you do. If not, Sharons are usually very serious. Okay?
Oh, interesting. I am very serious, but I am laughing all the time.
Right, but you can be serious and still have fun. But the difference is that when they name you Susan, they're saying this is close to Sharon with the qualities, and yet we're giving you that sense of humor. We're acknowledging it.
And I didn't need that because it's in the rest of my name.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. I mean, I ascribe to the fact that you're named, you name yourself before you come in. And I've always wondered about that. But
you might enjoy the book called Nine Faces of Christ by Eugene
Whitworth. I read it. It's incredible. Oh, my
yes.
God.
Your name says that you would enjoy that book.
It's been so long. It's got to be 20 or 30 years since I've read that. But it was it was life-changing.
Yes, it came out in 1985. And it's Dr. Eugene Whitworth that wrote that book. And when I studied with him, he's the one that did a comparison with all the original seven languages and found that all of the religions and found that all of them agreed on 10 basic ideas. And one of them was that the incoming soul impresses upon the person naming them what they want to be called. So we name ourselves.
Oh, how interesting. You know something? I don't even remember that in that book. Was it in that book? Because I don't remember that.
I don't recall if it's in any of his books. I took a year and studied with him.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
aren't you lucky?
Yeah, I sponsored him where I lived, and I had people fly in all from everywhere that just to come take a 2-week class with him.
Wow. Wow, how fabulous.
Anyway, I want to thank you so much, Sharon, for calling in.
Oh, thank you so much. This was fabulous.
Well, thank you for calling in. I definitely appreciate it. Have a wonderful evening. And for all of you that are listening, and I know many of you listen after the fact because of what time this is on, I do want to say to check the website, knowthename.com. Go to the schedule page. And both Monday and Tuesday, I'm on other people's radio shows. They were pre-recorded. One, I'm going to take apart for a good half hour everything about that coronavirus and everything that we can learn and take advantage of and reduce our fear about it within the name on one of them. And then the other one is she really approached it very differently, the whole thing about names and what she wanted to know. So if you've listened to a lot of my interviews, you'll see that some things come up frequently. But this one was quite new and different, which makes it more exciting for me to be interviewed, and definitely, I would think, more exciting for you to listen with. Anyway, the other thing is we're starting I had a YouTube channel, Let It Go, long ago. We're getting that back up again. So if you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel or get on the newsletter when they'll start back up again next week on the website, please feel welcome to do that. And fairly soon, we're going to have a brand new website. Some of the information on the current one's not going to be there, so check it all out. Make sure you grabbed any information on the current one that you want before we switch over to the new one that is just simpler, smaller, shorter, whatever. We're updating it and modernizing it. So this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth, host of Know the Name, Know the Answers. Thank you for joining us, and have a most marvelous week. And this is Sharon signing off.